that was such a moving conversation to have with Salma El-Tarzi. There were also strong passions being described from the pro-Mubarak camp, though, weren't they? And that's the reason why we've had all of these clashes. Can you tell us what's happening now and why it is that we've erupted in these clashes? You can hear the gunfire where you are.
There's a lot of gunfire going on again. Basically, there's a sporadic barrage. I've just seen bullets fly past the place where we are, towards the west, actually, towards the Nile. It really does seem to be coming from everywhere. But yes, I was listening to her as well, and this is—it's quite heartbreaking, actually, because whereas the people seem to be so excited that finally they found their voice to get to fight for change, they are paying a very high price. It hasn't proved to be easy. It's proving to be incredibly difficult. Their protests have been peaceful throughout this week. There's been absolute, other than Friday, where they clashed with police, and police used quite a lot of force on the people, with over 100 killed that day. They're paying a very high price for fighting what they want, which is the deposal of a man they see that's run a brutal regime for 30 years that has oppressed them. And today, really, the scenes that are playing out, especially those that have been played out in the last hour, very difficult to tell exactly what is going on. But again, a lot of gunfire going coming here from all kinds of directions. You can see the red flares of bullets in the sky. I can actually see them flying across where I am towards the Nile now, which is towards the west. And again, the military doesn't... An eerie sense of silence has crossed over this part of the north of Tahrir Square. There's been the anti-government protesters were beating their steel barricades all night in a sense of defiance and intimidation to the pro-Mubarak supporters. That now has gone completely silent after what's just been happening here. An intense barrage of gunfire coming from...
Remind viewers once again what we're seeing and what we're hearing. These are not live pictures at the moment, but these are pictures that we've been seeing through the night. And we've been hearing in the background, you can hear it right now, are the cracks of gunfire going off, as they have done for the last hour or so. We've been hearing them live here on Al Jazeera English. We've heard machine gun fire. We've heard witnesses in the midst of the anti-Mubarak camp who've been there for the last 10 days or so, saying that there are still many women behind their lines. They've been saying that they are taking gunfire that seems to be pointed towards their legs and feet. But people have been fighting for the past 12 hours. Our witness Salma El-Tarzi was telling us. She was saying that they're not even running for cover in the midst of the gunfire that you're hearing right now, these continuous cracks of gunfire going off, incoming gunfire, and they're saying they're just too tired to even move. And as I say, these are said to be civilians. I want to clarify that, please, with our correspondent who remains on the line watching events as they unfold in the square. What weapons does either side have? Is it possible that there could be this kind of gunfire without some kind of prior knowledge from officials in the security forces?
Well, what we're hearing from people on the ground, from the anti-government camp, have been arresting, detaining some of these pro-Mubarak supporters. They say that these, a lot of them, the IDs they found on them show that they are members of the security forces, members of the police force. Again, this is difficult for us to confirm, but this is what we've been... what we've been told and what we've seen. So again, there is a feeling here that these men have come very well armed. You can hear, I mean, it is quite, it does resist. a war zone right now, something peaceful protests that have turned into something very, very different indeed. But yes, the feeling here is this camp has been very well organized. We've seen Mubarak come just to the streets today in full force. They haven't been anywhere to be seen throughout this week, throughout the peaceful anti-government protests. A few of them came out last night after the president's speech. They were encircled by military at that point. They were sort of kept away from the anti-government tanks. But tonight, a very, very different scene.
Do you know what supplies the people who've been camped out there for the last, 10 days have? They've said they're going to stay there, they're not going to move, despite now we're hearing this gunfire.
Yes, well, it's an incredible result. I think all kinds of intimidation tactics being used to, we're just seeing another tank move now, and we're seeing an ambulance coming up the street. All kinds of intimidation tactics appear to be used to intimidate the people to go back home. But, I mean, it's incredible, really, the resolve of the anti-government protesters. I mean, all of this week they've been telling us it's been 30 years that we have kept silent, that we have been afraid, because, of course, any opposition to this regime was clamped down upon with an iron fist. They say that, you know what, after 30 years, we're not afraid of anything anymore. And many have said, we will die in this square before President Mubarak stands down. It really is a sense of, they see it as a live or die situation. They will not at all take any less than their demand, which is that the president stands down now.
And now we hear that one person has been killed, according to the Reuters news agency. Earlier we were hearing witnesses in Tahrir Square itself saying that they'd seen six people wounded. So live fire being fired on these crowds of protesters, anti-Mubarak supporters. They do have some form of arms in the sense that they have stones and we were hearing sticks and long knives, but against live gunfire from a distance from what have been described as snipers in the north part of the square, but that's not confirmed, that's not going to help much in defending them. Can you tell us what barricades they've put up? Because we can see them. That's just happened in the last few hours, hasn't it?
Yes, I mean, they made an advance upon the northern area here. It's a road, it's a northern road that leads down to the square, which is around 800 meters from where all this is happening. And they slowly advanced with what looks to me from here like that gun is showing its signs.
All right. I'm going to pause for a moment and cross to another witness that we have in Tahrir Square, an activist, Rami Raghuf. We were just hearing, Rami, the crackle of, it sounded like machine gun fire. It sounded like automatic gun fire. What's going on?
Every now and then we hear shooting fires in the air. And from around 50 minutes, I heard machine gun. And from around 20 minutes, someone died from the demonstration in Tahrir Square by live ammunition shot by one from the NDB thugs in Tahrir Square.
So, can you repeat that again? Are you saying that the gunfire came from the NDP?
Yes, I'm sure that the gunfire came from the bridge above Tahrir Square. It's called 6th of October Bridge, where the NDP demonstration, which is pro-Mubarak, they have been shooting us with Molotov and with different kinds of explosions and stones and glasses, and then shooting guns started shooting guns. At the beginning, it was not clear who was shooting gun, but then for a few minutes, we knew that someone of us just died from other ammunition.
All right, it's really a confusing situation, and it's very dark. So it's difficult to confirm what you're reporting to us, that gunfire seems to have come from the pro-Mubarak camp. But what I want to ask you is, what impact has it had on the ground? What are you doing? Can you take cover? Can you hide? Are people going home from fear?
All people here, I mean, at the beginning, there are so many people here in Tahrir Square, and almost everyone is awake up, and everybody is ready for an expected attack, because you have been hearing rumors for the last 3 or 4 hours that someone is going, that a new demonstration from Mubarak is going to attack us here in the square. All of us are trying to secure and guard the nine entrance that are leading to Tahrir Square. The square here is very big, and there are around nine entrances leading to Tahrir Square. People are divided into many groups, trying to guard and secure every entrance, because the army is here with us, but they are not doing anything at all, and they have a very neutral position. They are not defending us or attacking us, so we have to defend ourselves by ourselves. We are not expecting anyone to help us, so we are now trying to defend ourselves on all the entrances that leading to Tahrir Square to secure each entrance from the fact that may attack us.
Are you asking the soldiers to protect you?
Of course we are asking, and we are always speaking with them, why aren't you helping us? And they don't respond to us.
They don't respond at all?
What?
They don't respond at all to you?
Yes, which is very weird, because yesterday at 4 a.m. there was a pro-Mubarak demonstration coming towards us, and the army stopped them and didn't allow them to come to us. But today, apparently, they allowed them to come.
Can you describe the people that are around you? Are they armed?
No, of course we are not armed. We are just holding some sticks, some stones. We are holding very simple things, just in case if someone came into us and tried to attack us. And actually, we have caught several ones that are injected into the square. They are NDP, and some of them are Minister of Interior agents.
Are you with men? As you're an anti-Mubarak activist, are the people around you all men? Are there women and children there? Can you tell us who's there? Are they Muslim Brotherhood? Are these people with political agendas?
It's a very big gathering, including Muslim Brotherhood. Some of them are political activists. Some of them are very normal people, people from different provinces in Egypt, laborers and workers from factories, university students, old people, young people, small kids, big, many families are here. It is a wide range of varieties here in Tahrir Square. There is no particular group more than the other.
Small kids and gunfire's ringing out. Are they in danger?
I think yes. Apparently yes, because someone of us just died. So apparently yes, we are in danger at some point, because shooting fire happens every now and then, and we don't know from where it's coming and where is it going. We just suddenly discovered that someone of us is down from another nation.
Hold on a second. Thank you, Rami Rauf, in Tahrir Square on the anti-Mubarak side of those makeshift barricades that have been put up in the last hours or so since clashes broke out between anti-Mubarak or pro-democracy supporters and pro-Mubarak supporters. It's an incredibly tense situation. In the last hour or so, we've been hearing live gunfire shootout. We already have a report that one person's been killed, another report that six or seven people were wounded. It's incredibly difficult to confirm anything, but it's been really quite dramatic, as we've been seeing the live picture you're seeing on your screen at the moment, coupled with the actual sound in the background of the telephone conversations that we've been having with various people in the square, with the crackle of automatic gunfire in the background, the occasional crack of rifle fire. We've been hearing that there are women and children in the square, and that there, as you've been hearing, is a wide range of people, old and young, political activists and ordinary people. Another of our correspondents is near the square. Can you tell us what you've been seeing and hearing going on in this last incredibly intense hour or so of activity?
Well, I've been watching what looks to me like the last few pro-government supporters being pushed back across the bridge. They've been up on a raised overpass for the last 4 or 5 hours, and they've just been chased backwards by a group of about 50 or so anti-government protesters. They've been throwing Molotov cocktails at each other, as we've been seeing all day today. There's been small arms fire exchange between two groups. They've been being pushed back across this bridge for the whole last 3 or 4 hours. And I think the last ones who just left, they've been carrying Molotov cocktails with them and throwing them. Sometimes they stop and send almost emissaries towards each other. And one protester will come out 50 yards ahead and actually exchange words, it looks like, with a protester from the other side. The other thing that's been noticeable for the last 3 or 4 hours is that tanks have been pulling out of the square steadily, and we've just seen a tank that's been parked right in front of where I'm sitting for the last 3 or 4 days has just turned its ignition on, turned around and left. There are very few armored vehicles left in the square in front of me that I can see. Two armored personnel carriers which haven't moved in the last two hours, I'd say. They withdrew about 2 hours ago, and they are the last remaining armored vehicles that I can see in the square in front of me. But I can't see down underneath the underpasses which are in front of me.
All right.
There've been a lot of...
Can you clarify what role those armored vehicles have been playing? Is there a sense here that the army, which prevented pro-Mubarak supporters from entering the square at some point, are now abandoning the groups that have been camped out there for the last 10 days, now completely in the square?
Well, it's not been very clear which shots this evening have been fired by the military, if any at all. There have been some very high caliber rounds fired this evening. And I think we can only assume that from the armored personnel carriers and tanks which are around. But I haven't seen anyone hit by any of these rounds. As far as I can tell, these are just warning shots. There's been tracer fire into the air from those armored personnel carriers and tanks. But the role they played has been to stand off the entire time I've been watching this evening. I have not seen there's another round just shot out there. They stood off and they've steadily withdrawn over the last 4 hours. And there's really very few of them left now.
I just want to clarify, over the last hour or so, as we've been talking to different people, they've been saying that actually the anti-Mubarak camp are not armed. They have stones and sticks, but you're saying that there's been an exchange of fire, which seems to indicate that you at least have seen these pro-democracy groups carrying guns.
I've seen protesters carrying what looked like pistols and waving them at opposition protesters. At this stage, the lines are not as well defined as they were before, so it's difficult to tell which small group belongs to which party. Now, the only way we can I can hazard any kind of a guess is from the direction they're moving in. And the protesters that I've seen holding small arms seem to be moving in the same direction that the anti-government protesters have been moving in all day. That's to say, away from Tahrir Square to push out the pro-government supporters.
All right. Hold on a moment. That is one perspective from near Tahrir Square that we've been hearing reported on in the last few minutes. I understand that we are trying to get more perspectives of what's going on, but what you're seeing right now is live picture of over Tahrir Square, and you can hear the sound of gunfire going off. People running. It's not clear from what or to what. That now, a distant view, angle of the square itself. Just to recap, Reuters is reporting that one person has been killed in the gunfire. A witness in the square said that, and I think we have him with us now, Yasson Athanasiades, Tahrir Square, and he's on the line. And you were telling us about people who'd been wounded about half an hour ago. What's been happening since?
Well, about half an hour ago, about six people, from what we heard, were actually killed
from gunfire coming in from outside the square. But the latest development we've heard, and this is really quite a game changer, is that apparently demonstrators who've been battling for the last 8 hours outside the Cairo Museum in the main entrance to Tahrir Square have now pushed forward so much that they have actually taken the 6th of October overpass as one of the main bridges that, aside from connecting the east and west banks of the Nile, also provided pro-Mubarak demonstrators with a high vantage point from which they could shoot into the square, allegedly, from what we're hearing. Now, apparently, demonstrators having taken that overpass, and this is really game-changing. It's lifted very much the morale of the people inside the square an hour or so before daybreak.
And that's despite the continuous gunfire that we're hearing. Is that coming from the pro-Mubarak side?
And again, a couple of gunshots right now. You might have heard them in the background. No, apparently this is the army which once the anti-Mubarak demonstrators took the square, started shooting into the air in order to intimidate them, in order perhaps to get them to stand down. But I don't have a visual connection with that part of the square and beyond. I'm just going on what I'm hearing from eyewitnesses on the ground there on the bridge fighting the pro-Mubarak demonstrators.
Is it possible to verify, to confirm the account that you have just spoken about, at least from the reactions that you're seeing in the from the demonstrators around you, that they have indeed overtaken the 6th of October overpass?
It's difficult because of a good half kilometer distance between the main part of the square and where the overpass is. But certainly the square has come alive in the last 10, 15 minutes. There were a few more gunshots. Now a large crowd has gathered right in front of me, and they seem to have caught one of the people that they allege are collaborators with the government, belong to state security. Large crowd gathered there, and this is something that we've seen throughout the evening as alleged collaborators are caught and then dragged to a temporary holding area. Some of them pulled out for interrogation by really impromptu interrogators. This is all very much from the hoof. But again, it's just an extraordinary development to think that those demonstrators who were hurling stones about 6 hours ago when we were last there outside the Egyptian Museum in a scene that was literally out of a war zone, burnt out APCs, Molotov cocktails raining down and gunshots all around, have now pushed forward to the bridge and taken the 6th of October bridge. This will open, will create an opening out of the square for those demonstrators who want to leave, but the atmosphere here is very much that they're going to stick it out, and they hope that with dawn there will be reinforcements, much needed reinforcements after nearly 16 hours of fighting for the tired demonstrators inside the square.
How organized are they? How are they able to achieve this apparent game changer, as you describe it?
Organization is just it's a fascinating issue. I was speaking with one of the organizers earlier today who told me that this is something that really couldn't have happened at any other time. And more gunshots now, more machine gunshots ringing out. Couldn't have happened at any other time before 2011. Maybe Tunisia was important and crucial as a spark, but you could have equally argued that the Mahalla riots 2 years ago could have been a spark. No, says this organizer, they weren't ready. This was the time when a process that lasted 6 years came to fruition. And this is what we've been seeing here in this square. People from all different walks of life, different specializations coming together, delegating authority, each sticking to what they're good, the doctors, the lawyers, the human rights people, the tech geeks, at least before the internet, Egypt seceded from the internet. It seems to be very much a non-the-hoof kind of organization, but something that works. And in the defense of the square, this is something that you see. People will organically shift from entrance to entrance. There's fluid communication as threats appear in different sides.
We have 2 minutes till the top of the hour when I'm going to recap the events that we've been seeing. Before then, I just want to ask you, you're a photojournalist. You have experience in different demonstrations around the region, including, I believe, in Tehran, when those mass demonstrations broke out after the presidential elections. What kind of images have you captured here?
Well, this has been looking a lot more like Tehran in the last 24 hours or so. It looked up until yesterday, up until President Mubarak's confession speech, that he was going to try to soft pedal this. It was going to become some kind of Lebanese waiting game, as when Hezbollah organized those month-long demonstrations to overthrow the government. But in the last 24 hours, this has changed very much. President Mubarak has offered the carrot of not standing again for further elections, and then he's followed up today with the stick of his demonstrators coming out, his supporters coming out, and demonstrators here in the square say that these are not real supporters. These are paid-up members, either civil servants or actually fully paid-up members of the state security forces, the feared Amna Dawla. And one demonstrator earlier on saying to me that these people are fighting with such passion, vigor, and dirty tricks because they know that they're really desperate. If their regime falls, if their president leaves, these people who have committed crimes, human rights abuses over the last 30 years are really in for it. So you're seeing desperation on both sides, both on the sides of the demonstrators who feel that this is a game that they cannot afford to lose. They cannot go back to the days before the 25th of January when these falls on the side of the supporters of Mubarak.
You're watching Al Jazeera with live and continuing coverage from Egypt, where it's reported one person has been killed as demonstrations turned violent in the last few hours. Look and listen. Live pictures, live sound from Tahrir Square, which translates as Liberation Square.